lightning. I saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power.
Yes, I do.
But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. That's your testimony. Together, sons and daughters, fought with blood and washed in water. Sing the graces of the Spirit, Son and Father, how God will finish what He started. Yes, how God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Come on. Greater things are still to come.
Oh, I believe.
If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
I'm not done, you're not done.
Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, then you're not done.
You're not done, you're not done.
Greater things are still to come.
Oh, I believe.
If I'm not dead, then you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my life. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify by Jesus Christ the righteous. I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come on, give the Lord praise. Give Him praise. Put your hands together. Give Him a shout. Hallelujah. This is my testimony. Hallelujah. If you wonder why I'm up here singing today, I have to say at the beginning of every song, Leslie texted me this morning, our lead singer, and said she got sick last night. She thinks food poisoning. And so we're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So yours truly, yours truly, I need you to sing with me. We're going to sing this last song today. I need you to sing with me today. How many of you know He is the Waymaker? Say, He's the Waymaker. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through, but I tell you right now, He makes a way when there doesn't seem to be a way. He turns a Red Sea into a red carpet. Let me tell you right now, He is the Waymaker. He's the promise keeper. He's the miracle worker. He's the light in the darkness. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Will you sing it with me? Will you let Him know it today that He's the way maker? We thank You, Lord. that you are so good. We thank you that you are our way maker. We look to you. No matter what we face, we look to you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Come on, sing it. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I want to hear you say, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Touching every heart, I worship you. Come on, tell him, I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Come on, tell him. That is who you are. 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 You, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Come on. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 give him praise today. That is who you are. Put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together and give God praise. You are the way maker. You are the miracle worker. You are the promise keeper. You're the light in the darkness. That's who you are. We give you praise. We exalt you. We magnify you, Lord. There's no God like our God. You're El Shaddai. You're the God who's more than enough. Oh, waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. Lord, we're so thankful that you're all our waymaker. Come on, lift your hands, say, Lord, thank you. You're my waymaker. You're my miracle worker. Tell him, Lord, you're the promise keeper. You are the light in the darkness. That's who you are, Lord. Lord, we worship you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We thank you, Father, that no matter what we face, we never have to be afraid. We never have to be anxious. We never have to be fretful, because we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear, no matter what anybody tries to do to me. No weapon formed against me can ever prosper, because God is on my side. He's fighting my battles. He's making a way. He is meeting every need. He's protecting me. He's delivering me. He's my waymaker. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you today. We worship you today. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Muff and Job and Callie and Dave up here doing a great job. Give them a big round of applause, doing a great job.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the reason that we worship the Lord at the beginning of our service is because the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of
his
people.
Yes,
and when you begin to worship him, God begins to manifest himself.
Right.
You begin to feel his presence. And I feel the presence of the Lord
today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I feel God's presence here today. Do you?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to someone, tell them he's the way maker.
The way maker. Praise God. Well, we had all men up here today. How about that? Good job, guys. Pastor Steve, you should have checked my voice before you married me. Aren't pastor's wives supposed to be able to sing? Come on. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Ascend Church. We'd like to ask if people wouldn't mind coming and filling up the center section. I know everybody kind of spreads out, but don't feel shy. Why don't you just come up? Thanks, Mark, Stacy. Come on, Ray. Come on. It's up front. We're filming today. Come right over here. Thank you. We always film for online, but we're filming for TV too, and it's important what we see right in front of us. Let's move over again. Thanks. Thanks so much. Welcome, guys. Come on. Thank you. How are you all? Good. Good to see you today. Welcome to those watching online. We're glad you joined us on Facebook or what have you, but on our website, on YouTube, on our app. We're so glad that you joined us. I had a good week. Anybody else have a good week? Come on. We took a little couple of days in California. We had a credit on our a flight we hadn't used, and we decided to pop out and see our kids. And man, so good. However, it's harder to leave them when you've seen them for a few days. But I think Pastor Steve will share a little bit about that. It was really good. And but we're glad to be in church this morning. I'm excited about the message. Last week was phenomenal. Pastor Steve preached on the Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. And we're continuing that this week. And, you know, the Bible says that signs follow the preaching of the word. So whatever you hear preached, it's like if you preach on healing, you see healing. So when you preach on the Holy Spirit and what he's going to preach today, you're going to begin to see more and more of that take place in your life. And I'm excited for it. Amen. But I want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If we had anyone for the first time today, won't you wave your hand for us? I don't think I see any new faces today. Chris always waves at me, but I recognize you, brother. So go ahead if you are on Facebook and you'd like to share the service. It's a way of reaching out to the community, to people that you know, sharing the word with them in a social media friendly way. And you can share from our mobile app. Everything on the mobile app is shareable. Whether if you look up a scripture, you read a blog, whatever it is, you can just share that with someone. It's so simple to share the word like that. So thank you for doing that. And I just want to remind you of the four purposes of our church. Before I do that, let me say there's a Spanish translation available on our YouTube and on our app and on our website. And at any time in the service, if you bring somebody and they would prefer to listen in Spanish, it's being translated as Pastor Steve preaches. We'll give them instructions as to how to do that. So keep that in mind when you invite people to church. And we are going to go over the four purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. Like today, as you preach, you're going to know God as your lead, as your guide, who will direct you, who will speak to you. We want to know God more. Second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area. You know, we were just singing about God as the way maker and the light in the darkness. And I started thinking about some stories of people in our church that have gone through dark times and maybe times of addiction, and yet they found freedom and they found light. That's what we want in every area of our life, to find freedom, right? Thirdly, to discover our purpose. And fourthly, to make a difference in this world. Amen. Pastor Steve, we're ready for you.
Praise the Lord. You know, like my wife said, we went to Los Angeles, California this week because we have two daughters who live there, my oldest daughter and our youngest daughter. And we hadn't seen our youngest daughter in 10 months. It's the longest time that we've ever gone without seeing her. And we haven't been to L.A. in 20 months since Courtney got married. And so they really wanted us to come out. They wanted to treat us and spoil us because it was our 38th wedding anniversary on the 8th of October. And so we went out there, and they just, I mean, this is the first time that they took us to these expensive dinners, and then they wouldn't let me pay. And then they took Courtney took her mom to Louis Vuitton and shopped at Louis Vuitton. That's a first. And I was like, big smile.
Kind Dad, of hard. Do you mind? I must tell you, it feels
do you
weird.
Mind, Dad? I do not mind at all. And then, so one of the reasons we wanted to go out there, because I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago that we had we got some great news, and we had an announcement, and it was a secret because it hadn't been revealed yet. But I can now tell you, if you'd like to know, the wonderful news that we received, and that is that our youngest daughter Courtney and her husband Sam have just been appointed.
No, they're not expecting it.
Give me see the picture, please. Have just been appointed the lead pastors for Hillsong California, which means that Hillsong California has three campuses. They have a campus in LA that has 3,000 people. They have a campus in OC. That has in Orange County that has 1,200 people, and then they have a campus in San Francisco that has about 3,000 people. So Courtney and Sam have now been made the lead pastors over all three campuses. It's about 5,000, 6,000 members, and so it's a huge, it's a big deal. It's a huge honor. Brian Houston, who is the founder of Hillsong Global, he made they're showing the video today. That's Brian. Last year, Brian Houston prophesied over Sam and Courtney. And he said, you know, that his son, Ben, was the lead pastor over Hillsong California. He's moving on to something different now. And Brian, Pastor Brian Houston said, we prayed about it. We had many different people that we looked at, but we just kept coming back to Sam and Courtney because, you know, Sam and Courtney are only 28 years old. And here they are. They've got all the staff under them. He's going to be traveling between these locations. So we wanted to go out and celebrate with them. We celebrated with them. We celebrated our anniversary. So that's the big news that we wanted to tell you. Amen. Praise God. And there we are at the airport saying goodbye. We look happy, but we were sad, actually, to be leaving. We got back last night, and I wouldn't miss a Sunday. And then I got a text this morning from our lead singer, Leslie, saying that she got ill. She thinks it could be food poisoning. And so I said, what are we going to do? So I got up and sang and led and praised, led the music today. And thank you for singing and worshiping, and it wasn't too bad. Was it okay? Well, hopefully that's the first and the last time that ever happens. Amen. Father, we thank you that you are so good. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you've given to be our guide, our teacher, our helper. Holy Spirit, as I stand to declare your word today, I'm looking and trusting in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak through me today, that you bring understanding and revelation to every person, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Amen. I also want to say thank you to everybody who blessed us last Sunday for Pastor's Appreciation Day. I want to thank you so much. We so appreciate it. It was the biggest offering we have ever been given, and we really appreciate that. Thank you. And all the messages and the notes. I want you to know that your messages and your words mean just as much to me as the gift that you gave us, the words that you said. So thank you so much. Are you ready for God's word today? Remember, we're excited. November 15th, we start on Fox 29, 7:30 a.m. We start our television show on Fox 29 this Saturday. Yesterday, we got all our cameras hooked up. We now have three different cameras. We got the switcher. It's the first day we're using it, but we stepped up to another notch. We got everything hooked up. I'm excited. You say, why are you excited to be on Fox 29? Because I believe we're going to reach a whole lot more people that God wants to be in this church. That's why I'm excited. Amen? All right. Now, today, I want to continue speaking about I Need a Ghost. This is part two. I started last Sunday. I Need a Ghost. If you missed that, if you weren't here, I really encourage you to go back and watch last week's sermon. There's you can go watch it on our mobile app, or you can watch it on our YouTube channel. But go watch last week's sermon. But I want to carry on today with part two of I Need a Ghost. And I want to speak about how the Holy Ghost will guide you in your life, how the Holy Spirit will lead you in your life. And I want to start out here in John chapter 16 in verse 13. The Bible says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guides you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you speak to me, and you tell me things to come. You see, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. We don't have to go through life guessing what to do. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us into God's best plan for our life. And there are two main ways that God guides and speaks to you. Number one, the first way, is God guides every believer by his word. The word of God is our guide. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The Passion Bible says, truth's shining light guides me in my choices and decisions. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. Notice that. The revelation of God's word guides me in my choices. It guides me in my path. So the first way God guides you is by his word. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. Because the more you read the Bible, the more God's going to guide you in your life. You need to read the Bible every day. I started with my grandchildren, rewarding them, giving them a dollar every day that they read at least one chapter of the Bible. I got them so motivated reading the Bible now that the first thing my grandson Jude does when he gets up in the morning is read his Bible. What a great habit to develop in your life to read the Bible every day. Amen? The second way that God guides you is God guides us personally by the Holy Spirit. So God's going to guide you as you read the Word of God. He's going to give you guidance. And secondly, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to tell you things to come, and he's going to guide you in your life. In Romans 8, verse 14, the scripture says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That means if you're a child of God, how many of you say, I'm a child of God? Then you are to be led by the Spirit of God. The contemporary English version says, only those people who are led by God's Spirit are his children. You see, being a Christian is Jesus is Lord of my life. Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm going to let your Holy Spirit lead me and guide me. God's children are those who let the Holy Spirit lead them. But you see, many Christians, they don't know how to recognize when the Holy Spirit is guiding them. Very often the Holy Spirit is trying to guide us, but we don't recognize it. We need to be able to realize and know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, when he's guiding you. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside every believer. He's there to lead us. He's there to guide us. He's there to help us make the right decisions. Amen? If you're going to fulfill your destiny and become everything God destined you to be, you've got to become sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is guiding you and leading you to do in your life. He wants to guide you in your family, in your career, in your ministry, in your future. We all need God's guidance in every aspect of our life. We need God's guidance. You say, Pastor Steve, where should I work? Is this the right job for me? Is this the right career for me? Should I go ahead with this business opportunity that has been presented to me? I think I'm in love, but is this the right person? Is this the one that I should marry? I'm thinking of moving to this other town, but is that where God wants me to be? I'm facing a problem. How should I handle it? Where should I be involved in the kingdom of God? These are all things we need God's guidance with. Wouldn't you like to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and recognize his voice? The good news is you can. It's not hard. It's not difficult. The problem is not that God isn't speaking to us. Oh, Pastor Steve, I don't know why God never talks to me. No, that's not the problem. The problem is we don't recognize his voice when he does speak to us. You see, a lot of people are looking for God to speak to them in a spectacular way. And God can speak to you in a spectacular way. And sometimes he does. He can speak to you in an audible voice. Or an angel could appear to you. Or you could have a vision. Or you could have a dream. God spoke to Joseph in a dream. Showed him his brothers bowing down before him. And that ended up happening. It came to pass. Mary's husband Joseph had a dream. Warning him to take Jesus and flee down to Egypt. Because Herod was going to kill all the baby boys in Israel. God warned the wise men in a dream not to tell Herod where Jesus was. The scripture says in Acts 2:17, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, God can speak to you in a spectacular way, in a dream, in a vision. But the primary way that God speaks to you is down here in your own spirit. Can I tell you that I've been serving the Lord for 40 years, and God's never spoken to me in a spectacular way. I've never had an angel appear. I've never had a vision, a dream. But God has led me in my life since I was 16 years old because I learned how to hear the Holy Spirit's guiding me down here in my spirit. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Now, it's interesting to me because earlier on we read in Psalm 119 where it says, your word is a lamp to my feet. What does a lamp do? It gives light so you know the right direction. Now the Bible says the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. What does that mean? Just like God's word is a lamp to guide you, so your spirit is a lamp that God uses to guide you and bring direction. Are you with me? God doesn't guide you in your head, in your mind. It's not going to come through your emotion. It's going to come through your spirit person. That's where God guides you. God speaks to you in your spirit. That's where he guides you. You see, you are a tripart being. What that means is there's three parts to you. The real you is a spirit. That's the eternal part of you. That's the part of you created in the image of God, because God is a spirit and we've been created in his image. The real you is a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Your soul is attached to your spirit. And then you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live inside a physical body. This physical body is simply the house that you live inside. The scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it mentions spirit, soul, and body. Amen? Now, the three ways that the Holy Spirit guides you in your spirit, there's three ways that the Holy Spirit guides you in your spirit. Number one, the most common way is by what the Bible calls the inward witness. Say, inward witness. Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And verse 16 says, the Spirit himself, notice that, the Spirit, not itself, himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness down in your spirit and lets you know you are a child of God. You have this inward assurance. Amen? Amen? Yeah. The number one most common way that the Holy Spirit leads us is by the inward witness in our own spirit. That's how God lets you know you're his child. He gives you an inward witness, an inward assurance, an inward knowing. That's the same way God will tell you other things in your life as well. When the Holy Spirit is guiding you to do something by the inward witness, you will experience an inward knowing, an inward prompting to do something, an inward excitement, or an inward, like a rest. Some people call it a hunch, an inward intuition, a peace on the inside. You just have this peace. You have this excitement. You have this knowing. You have this hunch. Just something's telling you, this is what I should do. Your head might be telling you the opposite, but down in your heart, you've got this something rising up telling me that's what you should do. You see, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. The Passion Bible says, let your heart be always guided. Look at that. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One. I can let the peace of God be a guide to me. In other words, if I'm thinking about doing something and I don't have peace about it, that's the Holy Spirit telling me, don't do it. The Amplified Bible says it like this. Let peace act as an umpire. Continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Let the peace of God act as an umpire. What does an umpire do? An umpire guides the game. Would you agree with that? He decides if it's safe, if it's out. He decides yes, no, he's in, he's out. The umpire decides the game. This is saying that peace should be the deciding factor when it comes to the decisions that you make. Let the peace of God act as an umpire. Let the peace of God call the shots, you might say. In other words, how do I feel in my spirit about this situation? Do I have peace about it, or do I have an unrest in my heart? This principle can help you in your everyday life. How many times do people do things they don't have peace about it? And then afterwards, they come to regret it. Oh, I never had peace about that from the first place. How many people get into a relationship they didn't have any peace about? They ignored those alarms again and again and again. Now it's a mess. Don't override what you are feeling down here in your spirit. Let peace act as an umpire in your life. If you didn't have peace about it, that's the Holy Spirit telling you don't do it. And if you go ahead and do it anyway, then that's on you. Because the Holy Spirit tried to warn you. When the Holy Spirit is telling you by an inward witness, don't do something, instead of having peace, you'll have a hesitancy. You'll have a heaviness. You'll have an uneasiness inside of you, an unrest, almost like an agitation on the inside. That's the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. He's telling you, don't do it. Don't go that direction. You don't have peace in your heart about it. When you feel an uneasiness, when you feel an unrest, it's not God trying to keep something from you. It's God trying to protect you. He's got something better in store. Let's not be hard-headed and always have to have it your own way in your own timing. When Paul was being taken by ship to Rome, he was going to stand before Caesar. He told the soldiers that were transporting him in Acts 27:10, he said, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also our own lives." Paul's saying, I perceive we're headed for danger. I perceive there's danger up ahead. How did Paul perceive it? He had an inward witness of the Holy Spirit. And he tried to get them to delay their sailing, but they wouldn't listen to him. And sure enough, they encountered a storm. But because Paul prayed, God spared all their lives. They lost the ship. They lost the cargo. They lost everything. And they shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Another time, Jesus was preaching. It was in somebody's home, and the place was so packed, no one could even get inside the house. And they brought four men, brought their friend who was paralyzed because they wanted Jesus to heal him, and they lowered him through the roof. They broke through the roof, and they lowered him on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the religious leaders who were present, they were reasoning in their heart and they were thinking, how can he say that? How could Jesus say that? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. How could he say that? And the Bible says in Mark 2 verse 8, immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said unto them, what is easier to say? Son, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk. How did Jesus know what they were thinking? He perceived it in his spirit. How did Paul know there was danger ahead? He perceived it in his spirit. We've had that many times, even with the kids. Jules says, something's telling me we've got to pray. One time it was for Luke, right? Something's telling me we've got to pray. We had this perceive in our heart. Amen. Move on for me. Thank you so much. The second way that the Holy Spirit guides you in your spirit is by what we call the still small voice of your spirit. Do you know your spirit has a voice? How many people know your body has a voice? One. Some people don't know the body got a voice. Your body got a voice. You know, what's the voice of your body? What's the voice of your body? Feelings. Now I'm really in the groove. Nothing more than feelings. Remember that song? Feelings is the voice of your body. How many of you know your soul, your mind has a voice? It's called reason. reason is the voice of your mind. Your spirit also has a voice. You know what it's called? Your conscience. It's that still small voice down on the inside here that tells you you shouldn't do that. That's your conscience. That's the voice of your spirit. That's the voice of your own spirit speaking to you. And the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, and your spirit gets information and direction from the Holy Spirit, and then your own spirit communicates that to you by the still, small, inner voice of your conscience. And so often, we're looking for God to speak to us in a spectacular, in a physical way, but usually that's not the way He speaks to you. God speaks to you in your spirit in a still, small voice. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a still, small voice, and that was God. You see, very often we're looking for the earthquake, we're looking for the fire, we're looking for the hurricane, and God often will speak to you most of the time in a still, small voice down in your spirit. Your conscience is the still, small voice of your spirit speaking to you. And the Apostle Paul, he said that he lived by his conscience, and he said that he obeyed his conscience. In Acts 23:1, Paul, looking earnestly at the council, he said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. In Romans 9, verse 1, he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said, my conscience is bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I live by my conscience. See, it will help you to become familiar with the small inward voice of your spirit by understanding it's the same voice that speaks to us and convicts us when we sin. When you do something wrong, has anyone here ever done something wrong and you felt convicted, you felt guilty, you felt, anybody? What was that? That was your conscience. That was the voice of your spirit. That's why Paul said we must keep a tender conscience. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he warned us not to sear our conscience. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And the Phillips translation says, whose conscience is as dead as seared flesh. It's no longer sensitive. It has no more feeling. Now, you know, you can sear your flesh. You know, like when they brand cattle. That the flesh that's branded becomes, it's not sensitive anymore. Just like you can drink hot coffee. Have you ever drunk coffee or a hot drink? It's really hot and you burn your tongue and then you can't taste anything for a while. You sear it. Do you know that you can sear your conscience to where you are no longer sensitive to your conscience and you can't hear your conscience? How do we sear our conscience? By continually disobeying it, by continually ignoring that still small voice. If you keep on ignoring it and you keep on disobeying it over and over and over and over again, you can come to the place where you sear your conscience. And if you sear your conscience, then it's hard to hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's like going and remember in the old days when we had the car aerial, the antenna, the long antenna. Today, you got the little tiny one. You can't even see it, the little one. Remember when it was the long wire one? And if you broke that antenna off, you ain't going to hear the radio. Right? Searing your conscience is like breaking the aerial on your car. You can't hear the radio anymore. It's dangerous to sear your conscience because you cut yourself off from the Holy Spirit's guidance. If you want to develop a keen sense of hearing God, if you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, keep a tender conscience. If your conscience convicts you, immediately repent, ask God to forgive you, and correct it. Keep your conscience tender before the Lord. Are you listening to me today? Am I making this clear? Because if you continually do something and you know it's wrong and you feel convicted and you continue over and over and over and over, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out, you'll come to the point where you no longer feel guilty, and that's dangerous because now you see it, your conscience, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. You're in this place where you can't, those radio waves are coming through the air, but you can't hear it because your aerial's broken. Are you hearing me today? That's why Paul the apostle, he said in Acts 24 and verse 16, that's why I seek with all my heart to have a clean conscience toward God and toward others. You have to keep your spirit tender and keep your conscience clear if you're going to be led by the Holy Ghost. The third way that the Holy Ghost speaks to you in your spirit is by the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. So the first way is by the inward witness. The second way is by the still, small voice of your own conscience. The third way is by the inward voice of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to go minister to a man who was riding in his chariot who worked for Queen Candace of Ethiopia. He was her accountant. And he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. He was journeying. He was on his way back home, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. He didn't understand what he was reading. And the Bible says in Acts 8, verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake that chariot. Now, the Holy Spirit can speak directly to your spirit. And there is a difference between the inward voice of the Holy Spirit and the still, small voice of your own spirit. The inward voice of the Holy Spirit is much more authoritative, and it can seem audible. Like when the Lord spoke to the prophet Samuel, he was just a young boy. He didn't realize it was God. He thought it was his mentor, Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, it came to pass at that time that while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, in other words, he's getting old, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And so he ran to Eli, and he said, here I am. You called me. He said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. He went and lay down again, and the Lord called again, Samuel. So Samuel arose, and he went to Eli. He said, here I am, for you called me. He said, I didn't call you, my son. Go lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. He was still learning to recognize God's voice. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. Samuel! He's only a young boy. He's like eight, 9 years old. Then he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you did call me. And then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Then the Lord said to Samuel. Now, my wife Jill has heard the inward voice of the Holy Spirit on a number of different occasions. When God called us to start the church in Cape Town, we were living in Johannesburg, 27 years old, 1991. And first time Jill heard, it seemed out loud, like I'm talking to you now. She just heard the Lord say, Musenberg. Now, it wasn't out loud because if you'd been there, you wouldn't have heard it. She heard it in her spirit. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit, but it seems audible. Well, you'll turn around. Who said that? Am I right? And then she heard it a second time, Musenberg. And then she said, Lord, if that's you, just tell me one more time. And she was vacuuming the house one day, and she heard Musenberg. What the Lord was telling her is that he wanted us to go to a town called Musenberg, which is in Cape Town. I never heard Musenberg, but down here in my spirit, I said, Jill, and she didn't tell me that. I said, Jill, I got out the map of South Africa, and she said, where do you think we should go start the church? We both said Cape Town. We both knew Cape Town. But where? Cape Town's, you know, that's like saying I'm going to Florida. There's a big, Florida's pretty big. So I put the map out and down in my spirit, and I said, you know what? It's somewhere here. And she looked where my finger was, and guess where it was? Muizenberg. That's how we left Johannesburg and went to a town called Muizenberg in 1991 and started a church. Second time, we were driving on the 95 from Orlando down to Miami Airport. We weren't living here yet. This was in 1998, I believe it was. I think it was 1998. We weren't living here. And we were driving on the freeway, and Jill was reading, I think, or something in the car. And as we drove on the 95 past the Marriott Hotel by Palm Beach Gardens, that Palm Beach Gardens exit, there's a Marriott Hotel, she heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, the audible voice of the Holy Spirit, said, you're going to have a church here. And she looked up and she saw the sign, Palm Beach Gardens, right? She wrote it down on that day, what God said to her. And sure enough, she didn't tell me about it, and God never spoke to me in an audible way. But God started dealing with me in my heart. And we were with, about 6 months later, I think it was, we were with Pastor Theo. We were in Disney, in Disney in Orlando, Disney World. And we're walking around, and Pastor Theo was telling me how that the Lord was leading him to start a church in America. And I said, where do you think it's going to be? And at that time, he thought it would be Florida. It ended up being San Antonio, Texas. And I said to him, we're walking around, I said, you know what? I feel the Lord is stirring me too. I felt this for a while now that God wants me to start a church in the United States. And he said, where do you think it will be? And I said, I feel Florida. He said, whereabouts in Florida? I said, well, I'm not sure. He said, well, you know, have you ever thought about West Palm Beach? And when he said that, Jill told me what the Lord told her, Palm Beach Gardens. And that's how we landed up. We started in Palm Beach Gardens. Packed up our kids, moved over. We started in Palm Beach Gardens, and then, of course, we ended up moving to Jupiter because this is where the Lord opened up the location for us. But family, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit can speak to you directly like this, where you, it's almost like it seems audible. It's the voice of the Holy Spirit down in your spirit. But most often, He will guide you the two other ways. The number one way that the Holy Spirit will guide you, the Lord will guide you, is by that inward witness, that peace in your heart. And the second way is by the still, small voice of your own spirit. That inward witness, it's like a prompting, like a suggestion. It may not even make sense to your mind. Our emotions may tell you the opposite. But deep down in your heart, we just know that it's the right thing. Jesus put it like this. Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 7, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying. And the Passion Bible says, the one whose heart is open, let him listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying. You see, the problem is not that God is not speaking to us and God is not guiding us. Apostle Steve, please pray for me. And I don't know why. The Lord never guides me. No. The problem is that we often don't recognize His voice when He does speak to us. We often don't listen to that inward witness. If you're going to follow God's guidance, you've got to have your ears tuned to the right frequency. There's hundreds of radio frequencies in the air around us, hundreds of TV signals going out in the air around us. Why aren't we receiving them? Because you don't. We've got to have a tuner. You've got to have a tuner and be tuned in to get that signal. All you've got to do is get a radio, tune it into the right frequency, and you'll hear what is being broadcast on that channel. I'm asking you to make sure you keep your spiritual ears tuned to what God is saying, that you stay sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And the more time you spend with the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, the more sensitive you'll be to hear His voice. Amen? Someone said, Pastor Steve, I never hear God's voice. Do you spend any time praying? Do you spend any time with the Lord? Because I found the more that I spend time with someone, the more familiar I become with that person. Don't go through your life with all this inside information available, but you never tap into it because you're on the wrong frequency. You only listen to your mind or your emotions or what other people are telling you. And you know, that's fine at certain times, but there's another frequency. There's a higher power, and God is constantly transmitting. But the question is, do we have our receivers tuned in? Because you got to get quiet and you got to be sensitive. And the more that you follow and listen and obey that inward leading of the Holy Spirit, the more common you'll become familiar with doing that. Amen. It's not going to be a loud, booming voice. It's going to be an impression. Suddenly an idea comes out of nowhere. You have a desire to go check on your children. You have a prompting to go to a certain place. Just something, a prompting to go to a certain place. It's like a suggestion came up. And if you're not sensitive, you'll miss it. You'll dismiss it. You'll think, oh, that's just me. I'm just dreaming again. No, that's how we often miss what God is saying down in our spirit. Romans 8:14 says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. The mature children of God are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks. Move on. Who's on the teleprompter today? Marco, thank you, Marco. You're doing a great job. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will give you inside information about your career. He'll give you ideas for business. He can give you ideas for inventions, witty inventions. The scripture says in Proverbs 8, verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge of witty inventions. Like Tom Cartwright, who was sitting on his porch up in Stuart, and God gave him an idea to make a fan blade that looked like a palm leaf. He was looking at these palm trees, and he had this idea of fan blade looked like a palm leaf, and he didn't know anything about fan blades, never made a fan blade, but he sketched it out, had it patented. Long story short, that fan blade became the biggest selling fan blade in the history of the fan blade industry. Hundreds of millions of dollars were sold. One idea Tom received sitting on his porch, the Holy Spirit. God can give you ideas that make you millions of dollars. I'm telling you, God is giving people in this church ideas of woody inventions. God is raising up millionaires in this church. Amen. God can give you inside information about your children. God can show you things that normally you would never have known. My kids tell us they couldn't get away with anything when they were growing up because God would tell us things. Now, I don't know if God told us everything, but he sure told us a lot. I love the story in 2 Kings. The Bible says in 2 Kings, the Syrian army, they were at war with Israel. But every time they made a move, the Israelites knew about it. And they'd beat them there. If the Syrians planned to attack them from the north, the Israelites would be there waiting. If they planned to sneak up in the middle of the night, the Israelites would be waiting, prepared for battle. No matter what the Syrian army do, the Israelites were always one step ahead. And the Syrian king, he got so frustrated, he thought there's got to be a traitor. There's got to be a rat. There's a traitor. Someone's giving information to the enemy. And one of the captains spoke up in 2 Kings 6, verse 12. He said, Master, dear king, no, it's not any of us. It's Elisha the prophet. Over in Israel, he tells the king of Israel everything you say, even what you whisper in your bedroom. We have an advantage. If we'll be sensitive to what we're hearing down here in our spirit, God will not only protect you from danger, he'll even tell you what your enemy's going to do. You talk about having the upper hand, someone trying to block you at the office, talk bad about you, ruin your reputation. They think they're putting up a barrier. What they don't realize is God's already shown you how to go around it. You one step ahead of the enemy, so to speak. What am I saying? If you stay tuned to the right frequency, you'll have insight to know things that you normally would not have known. You'll have an intuition. You'll have an impression. Sometimes you just feel it down here in your heart, in your spirit. You can't explain it. It doesn't even make sense to your head. It's just a knowing on the inside. If someone were to ask you, how do you know that's the right thing? How do you really know that that's going to happen? You say, I don't know how I know. I just know. I don't have any data backing me up. I don't have 10 years of research, but I've got the Spirit of the Most High God living on the inside of me. I've got a counselor, a helper, an advisor, a researcher. I'm tuned to a frequency that gives me inside information. Let me tell you, being led by the Spirit is so critical to who you marry. I became a Christian when I was 15 years old. I did not grow up in a Christian home. My wife, Jill, got saved about the same time at a Baptist church. We'd gone to school together. I knew Jill from the second grade. I don't think she knew me, but I knew she was from the second grade. And I admired her from afar. You know, I was shy. I was small. I was the smallest in my class. I didn't start growing till I was 15 years old. And I was shy. And there was no way in the world that she, I didn't even know if she knew I existed, even though I think I sat right behind her in one of the classes that we went to. But I'd known Jill, and she got saved at a Baptist church, and her younger sister, Sharon, happened to come visit the church I was going to, or just started going to, Pastor Theo's church, Christian Family Church, and she came along and visited, and she went back home, and she said, Jill, you got to come to this church, Christian Family Church. There's this guy there. He wears Jordache jeans. Anyone remember Jordache jeans? Some of you don't even know Jordache jeans. That was like, cool. Nothing gets between me and my Jordaches. You don't even remember that advert? Anyway, and so Jill said, what's his name? And Sharon, her sister, said, Steve Barry. And Jill said, oh, I know him. But she, thank God, she came to church anyway. And I remember the first time she came, walked into church. And I don't know what came over me. Had this boldness came over me. I went up to her and I started talking to her. And we were going on a youth camp, like out in the mountains. You know what I'm talking about? All of the youth of the church were going out in the mountains, and there was one. I think there was one or two spots left. And I said to her, "You should come with us." I talked her into coming with us, and so we went on this camp, and God just moved in an amazing way. I mean, we're on fire for the Lord, and we'd be around the campfire at night, worshiping God around the campfire, and kids would be seeing angels and getting baptized in the river, and we were just on fire for God. And one night, we were staying in tents in the Michalisburg, and we had to go to the ablution block to brush our teeth or shower, whatever, before bed. So I had my toiletries, and I was headed through the bush. I mean, it's dark out there. There's no lights. It's dark. I've got my flashlight. First time I told this story in America. In South Africa, we call a flashlight a torch. And so I said I was out there with my torch. But in America, a torch is like a flaming torch like Tarzan. And they had this image of me with my flaming torch out there in the bush in Africa. And that was a flashlight. And I'm walking. I'm following the path to go to the bathroom. And here's what I didn't know. Jill is sitting out there in the middle of the bush in the field, and it's pitch dark, you know, it's dark, and she's praying. We're brand new Christians. We've been Christians for a matter of months. And she's praying, and she feels the Lord telling her, Steve Barry is the guy for you. And she said, Lord, if that's you, you need to tell him that. And right at that moment, she sees this flashlight. And I'm on the path. And all of a sudden, now I have something on the inside of me, this like urge to get off the path. And I get off the path, and I'm walking through we call it the boondocks. You know the boondocks? I'm walking through the bush now with my, I don't know what I'm doing. What am I mean, there's snakes, all kinds of stuff. What am I doing off the path? But something's telling me, something's leading me, something's urging me. And I get off the path, and the next thing, I nearly fall on top of her. I came right up, got a fright. What are you doing here? She said, I'm praying. These words came out of my mouth. They didn't come out of my head. They came out of here. I said, you know, I just had the strangest feeling we are supposed to be together. She went home, broke the news to her boyfriend. I went into police protection for about 3 months, witness protection program. It was like we were 16, he was 19, he was in the army, 6'2", like 200 pounds. I'm like 125, 130 pounds. He said, and he's on the phone. He called me. He said, I'm going to break your neck. I went into witness protection. But the amazing thing is he ended up becoming a Christian. He ended up joining Pastor Theo's church, and we ended up becoming friends. I broke the news to my girlfriend, and boy, oh boy, 2 years later, we went to Bible school, the end of Bible school. We got married, and here we are 38 years later. Don't listen. You know what's amazing to me? Here's what's amazing to me. At 16 years old, God told me something that stayed for the rest of my life. I heard from God. Amen? We were teenagers, brand new Christians, and God was speaking to us. God was guiding us, even though we didn't really understand it and realize at the time. Shortly after that, I started working for Pastor. I started working out with Pastor Theo. I went to the gym. I bumped into Pastor Theo, and he said, "Hey, why don't we exercise together?" And one day, the Lord spoke to me down here in my spirit. He said, "I want you to stick to Theo like glue. I want you to stick to Theo like glue." That's all you had to tell me. Let me tell you right now, I got stuck, man. If he would have let me go home and sleep with him at night, I would have done it. But he never let me do that. But any chance I got, man, I'd work out with him. I'd exercise with him. Do I need to clarify that statement? It's a joke, by the way. I meant stay at his house. It's a joke. I mean, I want to be next to him. I want to watch him. I want to watch him eat, watch him work out, watch him pray, watch him read the Bible. I want to learn from him. That's what I mean. You got that, right? Lordy, lordy. So, but here we are. 40 years later, Pastor Theo is still my pastor. He's still my pastor. I still call him up today and ask him for advice. 40 years later, God told me to stick to him, and I never got unstuck. Even when God called us out to go and start our own church, Pastor Theo still is my pastor. Amen. I didn't realize it, but God was guiding me into the destiny he had for my life. Because I didn't know that the Lord had also spoken to Pastor Theo. And the Lord, the first time I met Pastor Theo, I was 15. The Lord said to him, "I've called this young man to ministry. I want you to disciple him." That's why when I bumped into him at the gym, he said, "Why don't we start working out together?" Because he wanted an opportunity to disciple me. Praise God. I ended up working for Pastor Theo for 7 years. I was in the church 12 years until God spoke to us to go start a church in Cape Town. Again, I heard that still small voice on the inside. I heard that on the inside. Now, Jill heard God's audible voice. She heard that audible voice again to come to America. But God doesn't guide her like that all the time. Most of the time in our daily life, we guided by that inward witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside. So much of what has happened in my life has been because I was guided by the Holy Spirit. When I was 18 years old, I was working as a salesman at a company called Lifestyle Kane. It was a furniture, rattan furniture. And our store was in a mall in a place called Rosebank in Johannesburg. And one day I was 18 years old. I was walking through the mall working for this Lifestyle Kane. And I saw a man setting up a furniture display, a furniture arrangement right in the center of the mall. And something on the inside of me, I had this urge to go and talk to him. Now, today, I talk to anybody. Today, I mean, I get up here and sing, even though I don't have a great voice, get up here and sing. I talk to anybody. But in those days, I didn't just go up and talk to anybody. It was a big deal for me to go up to a stranger. But something was telling me to go talk to this man. And so I did. I took a step of faith. I went and introduced myself. Turned out, it was Norman Backos. He and his four brothers owned a whole chain of upmarket furniture stores, and one of his salesmen had just resigned, and we got talking, found out I was a Christian, found out he was a Christian, and he said, "Why don't you come interview with me tomorrow?" I went in the next day and interviewed with him. They offered me the job. My salary doubled overnight. Overnight, my salary doubled. In fact, more than that. I was earning $750 a month. It went to $1,500, and within a few months, it went to $2,000, and I was like, Let me tell you right now, it pays to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It pays to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I remember when we got our first house, we were going to buy this lot of land, we were going to build our first home, and we were about to sign the contract on this lot of land, but I had a check in my spirit. I had a hesitancy, and I couldn't explain why. Because everything seemed, I mean, there was a beautiful neighborhood, everything looked right. But I had just something on the inside, I didn't have peace about it. And we decided we're not going to sign the contract. A week later, we heard about a new development that was very close to us in Eden Glen. And we went to look at this. It was a whole new development that had been owned, and someone, the company had bought the whole development, and they turned it into, you know, a subdivision. And the moment I stepped on the land, I had an inward witness. I had an inward excitement. I had an inward peace. I knew this is where God wanted us to build. I knew why I didn't have a peace about the previous lot when I stood on that ground. Are you following with me? Here's what I didn't know. What I didn't know is that first lot of land that we looked at that I didn't have the peace about, it became overrun by squatters. Squatters are people that just show up and put up tents and just start living there. And the property prices in that neighborhood, you couldn't give your house away. But with a second lot where we stood on the land and I had the peace and the excitement, what I didn't know is that neighborhood became a very upmarket neighborhood. We sold our house 2 years later for a 65% profit. We made $65,000 on our first house after 2 years just by being led by the Holy Ghost, just by listening to that inward witness in my heart. That's how God will lead you. How could I have known it? I was tuned to the right frequency. I followed that inward witness, that impression down in my spirit. It didn't make sense to my mind, but if you will follow that still small voice, God will lead you down the best path for your life. That's what the scripture says. Psalm 32, verse 8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you. Say, thank you, Lord, that you guide me down the best pathway for my life. Let me tell you, if you let the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, you'll come across supernatural opportunities. There'll be times you make decisions that don't make a lot of sense in the natural, but deep down you know it's the right thing for you. Thank God the Holy Spirit is alive inside every believer, and we have an advantage. If we'll be sensitive, God will give us insight, inside information about things that we would not have normally known any other way. He'll give you wisdom to help people. He'll give you wisdom to solve difficult problems. He'll give you discernment to know right from wrong, discernment to see through a phony, to know what's really true. You know, that's important in your relationships. Amen. I found out people are not always who they say they are. How they appear on the outside doesn't always match up to who they are on the inside. But if you will listen to God, He'll give you discernment. He'll give you the ability to see through phoniness of someone that has wrong ulterior motives. I've met some people I immediately felt good about them. I've only known them 10 minutes, but something gives me a witness down here on the inside. And then there's other people I've met. They seem as nice as it can be and friendly, but for some reason, I'm not comfortable. For some reason, I've got a check down here in my heart about I can't put my finger on it, but something's not right. Doesn't mean they're not a good person. It just means they're not right for me. And I've learned to just back off. That's God giving me discernment. He's giving me wisdom to make good decisions, the right decisions. Amen. Amen. You won't always understand why you feel a certain way. You may not always be able to explain it. It may not make sense to your mind. But don't try to figure it out. Just trust that God, what He's telling you, He knows what is best for you. Amen. He's the only one who knows what people are really like. He can see through the exterior down into a person's heart. Not everyone who appears nice and kind are all they appear to be. Some people have ulterior motives, but if you'll be sensitive, God will warn you about people like that. You'll feel an alarm in your spirit, an unrest down on the inside here. What is that? That is the Holy Ghost trying to guide you. That's the Holy Ghost trying to lead you. But you got to do your part and don't go against what you're sensing in your spirit. That's God speaking to you. Too often, we just ignore it. When the alarm goes off, we push it down again and push it down again. And usually it's because we want our own way. But God's ways are better than our ways. He can see the big picture for your life. He can see around that dead-end corner that you can't see. He knows what's going to cause heartache and pain. And he can see the shortcuts that are going to get you somewhere quicker. Amen? He's always got your best interest at heart. And that opportunity may look great, but if you have undressed down in your spirit, it simply means God has got something better for me. You say, man, I really like this guy I'm dating, man. He's so good looking, got a good personality, he makes good money, but you know what? He's just not right for me. I don't have a peace. I don't have it down the inside. Amen? If you don't have peace, man, move on. If there's unrest, uneasiness, a check in your spirit, it's easy to brush it off, think you're being overly sensitive. But I've learned to trust that inward guidance in my life. You might say, man, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm never going to meet anyone like him. If we're not careful, we'll push that alarm down, and that's what gets us off of God's best path for our life. Can you say amen, somebody? God's not trying to take anything from you. He's not trying to make your life miserable. Just the opposite. He's trying to keep you from heartache and pain. I've talked to person after person who've gone down the road, way down the road in a relationship they didn't feel good about from the beginning. And they end up hurt, disappointed, waste valuable years. And they tell me again and again, Pastor Steve, at the beginning, I didn't have a peace about it. I knew something wasn't right, but I went ahead anyway. I just went ahead. What happened? God was trying to guide them. They caught up. They got caught up in the excitement of the whole thing, and they overrode what they felt down in their spirit. Listen, family, God wants to lead us. He's not going to drag you. He's not going to force you. God doesn't whack you over the head and drag you down the best pathway for your life. You got to let him lead you. You got to follow. If you'll be sensitive, let me tell you, God will always give you a warning before you make a mistake. That alarm will go off. There'll be an unrest. When you feel that unrest, that hesitancy, be wise enough to step back, slow down, pay attention to what God is saying down in your spirit. I want you to go out each day knowing you have divine guidance. You have a counselor. You have a helper. You have an advisor. Living on the inside of you. It's the Spirit of the Most High God. Don't override what you are sensing down in your spirit. It's God talking to you. He knows what is best. When you have a decision to make, let peace be your umpire. Because if you'll learn to follow that inward witness, let me tell you, God will lead you, guide you down the best path for your life. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to know this. The Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word of God. Very important you understand this. 1 John 5, verse 7 says, there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. What bears witness? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Listen, God will never tell you something that disagrees with the word of, with the written Word of God. Don't accept anything if it disagrees with the written Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not violate the written Word of God. Are you with me? If you'll let the Holy Spirit lead you, he'll take you into some explosive blessings, blessings that will thrust you to a new level in your life. Psalm 95, verse 7, I think I'm closing with this. It says, for we are the lovers he cares for, and he is the God we worship. So drop everything else and listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. What God says to us must be the most important thing. We must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we must listen to his voice above every other voice. Amen. Say this with me. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost, for speaking to me. Come on, say, thank you, Holy Ghost, for guiding me. Say, I know the voice of God, and I do follow him. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for telling me things to come. Say this, say, I am Spirit-led. I'm Spirit-guided. I'm Spirit-controlled. Say it, say, I have wisdom to make right decisions. I have discernment to know right from wrong. I have the ability to solve difficult problems. Because I'm following God's voice, I'm going to see favor like I've never seen before in my life. God is guiding me down the best path for my life. Say, my steps are ordered by the Lord. God's blessings are chasing me down. They're overtaking me. Come on, say, supernatural connections and breakthroughs and open doors are coming my way in the name of Jesus. You see, let me give you a secret. Don't ever go around saying, I don't know what to do. 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 I wish I knew what to do. I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. I don't know what to do. Every time you say it, you speak in confusion. You should be saying, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I know what to do. I am led by the Holy Spirit. I know His voice. The Holy Spirit is guiding me. Can I tell you that I started declaring that before I knew how to do it? I started saying, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm led by the Holy Spirit. And the more I said it, the more that I got in tune with hearing His voice. See, Claire, one of my daily confessions is, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You lead me. You guide me. Thank you. I know your voice. Thank you for speaking to me in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Come on, give God some praise. Will you do that? Give God some thanks and give God some praise. Say, I need a ghost. I need the Holy Ghost. Say, Holy Ghost, I need you. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for guiding me in Jesus' name. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Amen, amen, and amen.
That's so good. That's so good, isn't it? Doesn't it just give you some confidence, too, when you begin to say that? You begin to say, I am led by the Holy Ghost. And it's true what Pastor Steve says. It's just the more you listen for His voice and act on it, the more you recognize it. The next time, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, now's the time in the service where we get to give into the kingdom of God. And are you excited about that? That's good. And I was thinking about this subject with giving, about being led by God in giving. And you know, tithing is a principle. We know that it's about giving back to God what belongs to Him. We know that. It's about demonstrating that He's first in our life, right? Because the Bible says in Deuteronomy 14, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. So we know God doesn't need our money, but He wants what it represents. He wants our heart. He wants us to trust Him. So that's what tithing is all about. But you know that God will lead you, just like Pastor Steve was saying, He'll lead you and He'll lead you in business. And He'll lead you at times to give over and above. And there's always reason behind it. You know, there's a story in 1 Kings, and I'm not going to read a lot of the verses, but just to paraphrase, Elijah, who was the man of God, he had told the wicked king Ahab that it was not going to rain on the earth for 3 years. And so there was a famine and there was a drought. So God guided Elijah. He directed him to an area where there would be provision. He said, go to the brook Cherith. So he sent him there. He said, your provision is there. And when he was there, it says the ravens came and fed him. He had water from the brook. He had bread and meat. So God provided him. God led him in that area. And so God will direct you. And it's very important, like Pastor Steve says, sometimes people make decisions to move to somewhere or do something, and they don't consult the Lord, but you want to know where His provision is, right? So then the water dried up. So just because God directed him once didn't mean that was it. It dried up. So he needed direction again. So now he's going in another direction. And in 1 Kings 17:9, it says, God said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So God will instruct you. So God is instructing and guiding Elijah. But there's two key people here in need of direction and provision. There's Elijah and there's the widow. They both need direction and they both need provision. And so Elijah, the man of God, he needs it, but the widow is going to die. She's going to eat her last meal with her son, and she's going to die if she doesn't get God's direction and his provision. But God gives him instruction. To Elijah, he says, you go to Zarephath and speak to that widow. And to the widow, he says, you make the man of God a cake first, and God will ensure that you're provided for. So God tells her what to do. Now, he didn't tell everybody to make a cake for Elijah. He directed her. He wanted to provide for her. That was important. I'm going to read two more verses. He says, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. So there was God's direction. It says there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. So there's direction in giving. You know, Samantha was sitting next to me in church this morning, and she's phenomenal. She does the most amazing nails. But the Lord directed her to take a new avenue in her business, and she opened it up to do little girls' birthday parties. Tell me what you call them? Spa parties. She's had one every single weekend. Her salon crowded with little girls all dressed up, everybody getting their nails done. It's a moneymaker. And God gave her an idea. And so, you know, that's the thing. Sometimes there's ideas that we don't know that are out there. But sometimes it's direction, and sometimes it's direction to give. Be sensitive. It's not for us to tell you. It's as you prompt it in your heart. God has a harvest. He knew that widow needed a harvest. He knew she needed some extra flour, and he knew how to get it to her. And he said, give, and it'll come to you. Amen. Anyway, as we prepare to give, we're going to pray over the offering. Those that are watching online, so simple. Just click give online, and it'll take you through. And there are various ways to give. It's up here. And we're going to give. Pastor Steve, do you want to pray over the givers?
Yeah, let's do that. You know, it's interesting that very often in offering time is when the Lord speaks to you. That's a lot of time people don't want God to speak to them. Not now, Lord. Wait till I get out of here. Not now. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes we're sitting and the Lord will tell you, I want you to give this amount. Like one couple that was sitting here a few weeks ago, and the Lord said to the wife, she said, I just feel like we must give four times what we normally would give. And they normally gave $250 a week. So I feel like we must give $1,000. And so her husband said, let's do it. I agree, let's do it. And so they gave the $1,000. Then the next week he went to his work, and he had an unexpected, some kind of $1,000 bonus immediately. And then that week, he made twice, double what he normally would make in a week. God gave him much more than the $1,000 back. And then the following week, he had a great week too. So what I'm trying to say is, anytime God speaks to you, remember this, it's always, he's got your best interest at mind. Whenever God speaks to you about planting a seed, it's because he's got a harvest for you. You know, when a farmer plants seed, he's not thinking about the seed. He's thinking about the harvest. When you give, you need to realize Jesus said, when you give, it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men put into your bosom. That's the way it works. You can never outgive God. So if the Lord speaks to you, whatever it is, be obedient to do it. And let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are the ultimate giver, Lord. We could never outgive you. You loved us so much, you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You've given us life. You gave us your very best. And Lord, your word says you love a cheerful giver. Lord, we delight in giving back to you. And I thank you, Lord, for the faithful tithers and givers in this church. I thank you that the windows of heaven are open above them. I thank you for blessings poured out upon them. I thank you, Lord, that blessings are chasing them down. I thank you, Lord, for your favor. I thank you for new opportunities. I thank you for opening brand new doors. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for bringing increase, Father. I declare increase in your life in Jesus' name. If you agree with it, say amen, I agree. Amen. Praise God. Is everybody ready to give today? Thank you so much, ushers. You may go ahead. Thank you for doing that. What was I going to say to you today? I want to thank, how many people invited somebody to come with you to church today? Raise your hand if you invited someone. They may not have come, but you invited them. Raise your hand if you made the attempt to invite someone. Well done. Now, I want to encourage you all, please, to invite somebody next week to come to church. Bring somebody with you. Let's not go to heaven alone. Let's take as many people as we can with us. What do you say? Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody who came to pray before service today. And we have prayer from 9:15 to 9:45 upstairs in our conference room. Thank you for everyone to come to pray. I want to encourage you. You're all invited. We'd love you to come join us. Come and pray with us. In fact, I'm praying that that room is going to be too small, that we're going to fill it up, and we're going to have to move prayer down to this room because we can't fit everybody up there. So come and join us for prayer. God bless you. Father, we thank you. We are so thankful for the Holy Ghost. We're so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you lead us and you guide us. Thank you for guiding us down the best pathway for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome week this week. Hallelujah.